Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am joined here with my beautiful co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio today. And we are so excited to be with you all. We're talking about something that is really so much on the hearts of mothers, grandmothers, aunts, and teenage girls, specifically themselves. We're talking about the beautiful design of the female. And I use that word beautiful because there are so many additional messages that have come up in social media, in society, and even stemming from places inside of teenage girls that are dark and confused and just long for so much self-expression. They can be so distorted once Satan grabs a hold of their mind or begins to distract them through a lot that's being thrown at them because they are looked at as very worthless or just a number or just someone who needs to buy a product. And we really are glad today that we can talk about the value, the worth, and the specific divine design of the female mind, of the female body, and of the plan that God has for who he specifically created in these beautiful, beautiful ways.
Well, it's great to join you. You know, there's a lot of talk and a lot of confusion these days about gender.
Mm-hmm.
I came across the term gender fluidity as though it's something you can decide, well, I'm going to go down this river and then I'm going to change and go this way. And is that true? Does that really ring true to our ears? I'm actually very thankful I'm not a young teenager during these days because I don't know what I would be doing. But does it mean you can change? Can a man change to be a woman? We see that they do. Can a woman be a man? We see that they are dressing and acting in such a way. Can you just decide that your personality doesn't fit your gender? And what about girls who hunt? I have a beautiful daughter-in-law that can take down a deer with a crossbow, but she's also a makeup artist that makes brides look beautiful on their wedding day. Her office is all pink and sparkly. But what about that taking down of the deer? It's not even something I could do. What about a guy who is interested in fabric and perfume and art and literature? Does that mean he's not really a guy? Can your gender be reassigned? I've heard that your sex is assigned at birth, and actually, scientifically, that's ridiculous. Your sex was assigned at conception.
Yes.
And we want to just maybe put little brackets around what we're going to talk about today. We're going to keep it very G-rated. If you want to use this broadcast to reparent yourself, that's always a good thing.
Yes.
I didn't grow up with Christian parents, so sometimes I confront myself with a lot of things that, oh my goodness, I'm not thinking right about that. And maybe you would want to sit with a young girl and listen to this show and talk, use it as a discussion starter.
Yes.
So I do not think your gender is assigned at birth. It's revealed at birth what God decided for you.
I love that. I really love that. And I love your reference, Michelle, to the fact that even though we definitely want teenage girls to feel a sense of clarity and edification in listening to this podcast, we have to start with the parents as well, because you had mentioned in a previous show, generationally, there were certain things that were just not considered acceptable to discuss openly or in depth. And sometimes that would leave you and other women within your generation feeling at a loss for answers to certain questions. And then you're seeking advice from wherever it's coming from. And dependent on the source, it can actually steer you more in a direction of confusion rather than of truth and clarity and God's design. So I love that, because you and your teenager can kind of unlearn some things together and relearn how you were designed and what God has to say about your identity. These are identity issues a lot of the times. There's so much going on in the hearts of women Men too, of course, but as women, we have such a vulnerable aspect to who we are, and we long for a deeper understanding. We long for more security. We long for that control when we feel a loss of it internally. And that manifests itself in different ways. A lot of them can be sinful. And I love in this book, Lies Girls Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. This is by Dana Gresh. She addresses so many issues that many young women face and helps them understand you can be who you were designed to be, whether or not you like football, whether or not you like Cinderella or makeup or both. You know, you can be exactly who you were designed to be, but there are healthy boundaries that God has bestowed in His Word when He says male and female, He created them. Yes, they have a lot of commonalities, but there are intricate differences that do make a bold, bold difference in united relationships, friendships, and God wants them there. They're still reflections of His likeness and of His image, although they are different from each other.
I agree. As a young girl, way back in the 50s and 60s, I was only exposed to the people in my neighborhood or the people at school. That was it. So it was only their looks, their talk, their opinion. Now our young people are exposed to the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
Way too much information,
mm-hmm.
way too many sources clamoring for their attention.
Mm.
And the global beauty market has just gone berserk.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know we spent $600 billion in 2025 alone?
Wow.
And it's not even over yet. It's not even over yet.
Oh my goodness.
And there's pressure from their ads. Their ads have been psychologically and socially and emotionally researched and tested to get those dollars out of your pocket.
Wow.
But what they do is they are trying to make you feel bad about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know the struggle is real. My favorite mascara has just been discontinued, and
I've already tried three more,
and they've all gone right in the trash.
Oh.
And so I get it. You know, I use products also, and we're not saying that that's bad. We're just saying we're so marketed to.
Yes, yes. And you know, that is the goal completely, Michelle, you're right. Of every industry trying to sell something, their goal is to make sure that every female feels a sense of inadequacy after they have watched something or heard something.
Yes.
Because after that, they're going to start seeking something. And usually the next ad doesn't promote, after you have felt this way because of this ad, turn right into that room that has your Bible in it and look up these verses on how you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and how there is so much wonder and awe, and how God creates and conceives the baby inside of the womb. He's involved in that. There's details in your creation. That's not what they're going for. They are completely playing on the side of you that says, I long for more. Mm-hmm. I long for more relationship, and I long for eternity is really what's going on in your soul. That's really what's going on. And even at a young age, God is initiating through these lacks that so many young girls feel as their body begins to transition. Hey, it's time to press deeper into me, because your body, your mind, and your life are changing. But I've designed it all. So keep coming to me for clarity. Ask the questions. Listen to the testimonies of women around you that you admire, that have taught you about who I am. Don't leave me during this time that so many are going to say it's time for your godly disconnect. It's actually the complete opposite. As you are experiencing those feelings of confusion, God is saying, okay, now I'm ready to reveal more and more to you about your actual identity. That's what you crave, and those are the answers I have for you.
That is so beautiful. You know, we all struggled through adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met a woman that said, oh, I just sailed through it. It was so easy to go from playing with Barbies to buying bras.
Mm.
You know, no, it's not. It's a confusing, strange time.
Yes.
And our culture is saying, if you don't feel like a girl, you can do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what God says at all.
No.
And you can compare yourself to other girls And the girls in your circle may not be doing the same things you're doing. You may feel like, I don't have a friend. Mm-hmm. You may feel like it's hard to find a friend, to get into a friend group. Mm-hmm. And I grew up with five sisters. Mm. And at one point, four of us were all in high school together, stair-stepped in high school.
Wow.
And we only had one bathroom in the house.
Oh, my gosh.
We had a schedule.
Wow.
And my oldest sister was musical. She was a redhead. She was congenial. She was kind. She was like the little mother in Little Women.
Aww.
And then my next sister was this quiet, sultry, dark, dark brunette. She always wore black and beautiful jewel colors. Then I was this independent, rebellious, sci-fi, crazy nerd that spent all my time in the physics lab. I only wore purple and pink. And then my youngest sister was this outgoing, pretty, blonde, athletic cheerleader.
Mm.
You know, you could not find four sisters who were more different than us.
Wow.
Little Women by Louisa May Alcott excluded. We didn't borrow each other's clothes because we didn't have the same taste. We didn't fight over boyfriends because we didn't have the same taste.
Mm.
Our friends were all different, but we expressed our femininity in four different ways.
Wow.
But we were still all female.
Right, right.
You know, and I just have to point out, to this day, I don't know what it means to feel female. Mm. I don't have those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a mother of four boys. I've given birth. I've breastfed. I have, you know, raised them. I feel kind of swishy when I wear a swishy dress, but that feeling goes away in seconds, you know?
Yeah.
I don't equate femininity with a feeling.
Mm.
What about you?
I think that's very wise, actually, but it's also very difficult when I have so many feelings going on inside of me because I'm really just looking for an outlet.
Okay.
I remember as a teenager, I used to fill so many journals with my thoughts because I just needed a place where they could go. There's no person who could sit down for any amount of time that would have been sufficient for them to hear everything I was feeling and then actually provide solutions for me. So I began filling these journals and it was pouring out my heart, but I would notice certain parts of it when I would go back, I wouldn't want to read it because maybe I felt embarrassed or ashamed, or I didn't want someone thinking that because I had this thought or this feeling that this is what I was going for or aiming for. It's just me trying to figure out who I am. However, all of the journals were written kind of in a direction that promoted me trying to find the answers. And that's why I never really found them. So I would feel better temporarily, just like you said, because, oh, finally it was out of me. It wasn't just screaming and screaming inside of me. But then that second half of now, what do I do? Or now, how do I clarify this? Or now, which direction do I go in? That wasn't there because the answers were not in me and the answers are not in us. And that's also part of God's design, you know? And so I just love so much of what you're saying, Michelle, because yes, femininity can be expressed in so many different ways. I wanted to read this quote by Dana Gresh from her book, which actually addresses that. She says, sometimes the way people try to erase differences is not okay. While it is okay for a girl to dress more like a tomboy than a princess, she should also think it's great to be a girl. That doesn't mean she can't play basketball or work in construction or that she can't like Star Wars more than Cinderella. It means that a girl shouldn't want to be so much like a boy that it erases everything about her that makes her girl-like. Doing that sends a message that being a girl isn't great at all.
I love that. Our God is so creative.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he made 40,000 different beetles.
What?
Yes. They've cataloged. I'm sorry. 400,000 different beetles.
Wow.
So he's not looking for girls to be like paper dolls.
Right.
You know, those identical folding paper dolls.
Absolutely.
And actually, our society, our culture, the world is saying gender expression should be very narrow, based only on feelings, you know? And being a girl is not a feeling, it's a fact.
Right.
And I like that you expressed yourself in your journals.
Mm-hmm.
I expressed my angst in art.
Okay.
You know, making collages and trying to figure out, taking bits and pieces from magazines and flyers and taking that out and putting it on the wall and wondering, oh, is that really me?
Right.
What is femininity? It's not an expression of who you are. It's an expression of what God is.
Mm-hmm.
Because gender was created in Genesis. Mm-hmm. He said, let us make man in our image. Mm-hmm. Genesis 1:26.
Yes.
And God is three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he used two canvases mm-hmm. to create a self-portrait in our image.
Oh, I love
that. But it wasn't enough to make one picture. And it was on the same day. It wasn't like he made Adam and then weeks went by and he's like, wow, this is not right. And that the whole idea of it is not good for a man to be alone.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that men were messed up
right.
and needed women. Men are perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But God was saying, oh, I'm not finished.
Mm.
He was telling us that day, oh, I've made man. He's awesome,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not finished. Look
mm-hmm.
what I'm going to do next. And
mm-hmm.
he made female. And our gender expression with God is very wide.
Yes.
You know, we've got women in the Bible who are princesses and queens and warriors.
Yes.
And women who pray like Hannah, weeping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women like Jael who took the enemy's head off mm-hmm. literally in her kitchen.
Wow.
I mean, oh, don't look to me to do that kind of stuff. So we've got a beautiful Bible
right.
that from the beginning to the end shows us you can be anything God wants you to be.
Yes.
His expression is wide, but it's not an expression of ourself. It's who he is.
Wow. I love that. I love that, Michelle, because as we are functioning in such a free-based society without any boundary, there is a kind of trade that does have to take place mentally. And you have to have this moment where you decide, I'm either going to continue on with this belief system under God, or I'm going to start redefining some things based on my comfort level and based on myself as the point of reference of whether or not I think this is fair or not. And again, in this book by Dana Gresh, she references Romans 1:25 because she says, when someone decides to make up their own truth about males and females, they have traded the truth about God for a lie.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't that so true? There's an actual transaction that happens there, and we don't want to make it sound so official or so daunting, but what goes on in the mind and in the heart, those are the epicenters of your decision making. And so if your point of reference is based on you or based on social acceptance, you're getting farther and farther from your creator. Because just as you said, he had a vision in mind for what he was doing, what he's still doing through you. And once you deviate away from him and start redefining things based totally on feeling, that's when a lot of destruction and damaging can actually begin happening mentally, because you're further from developing your identity, which is found in God. Whether or not you feel like you believe in him, you have a purpose in him, because the only reason you're here is because he thought of you and wanted you here. So as anything else that you create, you go back to the origin to understand its function and its purpose. And so we have to keep reminding ourselves beyond the feelings. I might feel this, but I need to put some facts inside of my mind. I need to wash myself in the word, because God doesn't change, even though the world around me continues to and promotes me doing the same thing.
That is beautiful. We have to come to the realization we are not God.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not the creator.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a purpose in making you who you are. And if it's uncomfortable, that's okay.
Yes.
You know, a lot of us have things that I am not a good cook. It's never been a skill. I burn
really?
A lot of stuff.
I always hear about your mac and cheeses.
Well, I'm always after making this better in my life.
Okay.
So me discovering that I don't have natural talent for cooking didn't lead me to say, oh, forget it, I'm not cooking. No,
mm-hmm.
it led me to, I probably have 7 cookbooks from the library right now. We made a meal yesterday that was brand new that everyone loves. Woo, glory to God. you know, but I keep after it. Yes. I am always after it to try to be better. But that is not what our world says.
Right.
Our world says if you notice you're not good at being a girl, you can change it. They want to hand our girls a paintbrush and say, oh, just paint over yourself. Just you have the freedom. Turn yourself into whoever you, whatever gender, whatever pronoun you identify with. But the statistics for young people who do this are not showing that they are free and happy and joyful over the change they make. You know, you can go on the internet and see girls who have had what's called a top job and who've changed themselves physically are miserable.
Yes.
The statistics for depression and suicide rates are escalating.
Yes.
When you try to change what God had for you.
Yes.
And
yes.
Being uncomfortable with your gender, it's a great opportunity to go to God and say, wow, I'm uncomfortable with my level of cooking. I go and research and find better, easier ways.
Yes.
So if you're uncomfortable with your gender, it's like, okay, well, here you go.
Right, right. You know, you still accept it as something that's not changeable. But then from there, you say, God, minister to me here. Or perhaps you don't feel like your body is as feminine looking as you would like for it to be. So you say, well, I know that I'm a female, but in comparison to her body, which oozes femininity, in my opinion,
yes,
there's some things missing about me, or I'm not adequate. But I love what you said about those statistics, because when they're facts, they are undeniable. It has to switch into, well, even though I heard that fact, my opinion is, but that does not take away the truth of the fact. And I wanted to read this because I have a little science statistic here, actually from a psychologist. His name is Dr. Michael Shapiro, and he is the director of behavioral health at the Southern Regional Area Health Education Center in North Carolina. Now, what made me think about this, Michelle, is because I found this really funny quote. I actually laughed out loud. It says, behind every angry woman stands a man who has absolutely no idea what he did wrong. And I just had to laugh because I have been in this position so many times. And it's kind of like the humor in trying to understand the depth of the female. But Dr. Michael Shapiro says, during the formative period of childhood, female brains begin to process information differently than male brains. For instance, females tend to have verbal centers on both sides of the brain, while males tend to have verbal centers only in the left hemisphere. Females often have a larger hippocampus, the center of human memory, with a higher density of neural connections in that area. As a result, females take in and absorb more sensory and emotional information than their male counterparts. It has also been shown that male brains use more gray matter, where information and action-centered areas of the brain take place when processing information, while females use more white matter, which governs higher order reasoning and thinking. This is why females tend to do a better job at multitasking and are usually better at interpreting emotions. In contrast, men actually utilize fewer brain areas and are prone to tunnel vision when they are actively engaged in a single activity. So because these designs are biblical, they are meant to be respected in reverence to God, not altered, changed, or used as a reference to criticize other people. Because we can look at these facts and say, you see, I have more this, you have less this. I can do it this way, you can't do it like me. And you know what? God is saying, yes, these are the ways I want you to understand that you have differences, not so you can throw them against each other, but so that you can understand that your mind has a lot of development left to go with what it means to honestly respect and accept these components of men and women. You're going to have relationships with people throughout your life that are opposite gender, and the way to understand them is to think with God about them, because He is who made them. So before we limit that and we say, say, okay, this is how I feel. So this is what life is. I love these facts because if we start from those grounds and say, hey, you know what? I don't even know if this scientist is a believer, but because of who God is and all his intricate design, his glory just shines and shines the more research is done on these differences, because everything I just read is how God designed Adam and Eve in one breath, one rib, and in his vision.
I love it. You know, when I was a little girl, we watched Perry Mason, the TV show where he solved the crime every time in 30 minutes. Well, nowadays, if you are watching TV or listening to real crime podcasts, which apparently is a thing, but I can't handle that kind of stuff, everything's been changed by what? DNA. Mm-hmm. If they can just get your DNA, mm-hmm. a hair follicle mm-hmm. will let them know. God created us as females, and every cell and every hair follicle, mm-hmm. whether you color it or not, every drop of your blood testifies to your sex.
Yes.
And if you try to uncreate yourself, you're going to hurt yourself more than heal yourself.
Yes.
Culture is trying to say that gender is a flexible behavioral expression, but that is not rooted in reality. Mm-hmm. Yes, our bodies can gestate our babies. We can feed them after they're born. It's incredible. Yes, women are usually more nurturing, not always. Mm-hmm. And I've got some statistics. Do you know that men and women's DNA are 98.5 identical?
Wow.
We even have the same hormones, but the ratio of the hormones explain all the differences.
Wow.
And that's what God was trying to do on that one afternoon. Mm-hmm. He made two people to represent himself in totally different functions. We're not different values, but the way we function is going to be totally different.
Wow. Yeah. And I really like what you said, Michelle, about just understanding, yes, you're going to see these different manifestations of God through the ways that the female body functions. You know, that can be very awkward for a teenager. You know, I know for some girls, when they begin their menstrual cycles, it's a big celebration because this means my body is turning into a housing area for when I become a mom. And this is actually what God wants my body to develop into. But there's a lot that can come with that. You know, there is a lot of discomfort sometimes, definitely a lot of emotional ups and downs, you know. And so those feelings of uncertainty can resurface themselves, and you have someone in front of you saying, yay, your body's transitioning. But then physically you're feeling it and you're saying, this is not a yay moment for me. Mm-hmm. I'm actually in pain. I don't want to go to this party. This is something I actually want to skip acknowledging because it doesn't make me feel pretty.
It's uncomfortable.
It is. But I like what you said earlier. Just because something is uncomfortable does not mean, oh, now it's wrong. Now we can redefine it. Now we can get rid of that inside of your body. You know, we have to learn, especially as women, that God has entrusted with so much once we are in our childbearing years, or perhaps we're a support to someone that has children. You know, we have to learn to continue walking with God while we are uncomfortable. That's a very big part of becoming a woman. And so when we have these moments where, you know, we have these narratives to girls and we say, hey, guess what? I can relate to you, and there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. But this is still something that has to take place because your body is crossing over. And I want you to know I'm offering the support of being here with you as it happens. I'm here with you, not lying to you, telling you that there's going to be some moments where you say, okay, I'm glad this has happened. And then there's going to be other moments where maybe you feel ashamed because you're in new territory. But you know what? The path of a woman's life is constant new territory. Now I'm a teenager. Okay. Now I'm a young adult. Okay. Never been here before. Okay. Now I'm married. I'm a wife. What does that look like for me? Okay. Now I'm a mom. Okay. What does that look like for me? You know, God is inviting so many of us to just continue holding his hand as these transitions happen, because it is something that affects the mind, the body, and the soul. And we have a God who's there saying, don't worry. Those alarm bells are going off because you've never been here before. but I want to let you know I've designed it all. So press into me. Don't run away and let it be uncomfortable sometimes. That's okay. It's okay to be uncomfortable and just go hug your mom when you don't know what else to do, or go call your grandma and listen to stories about how she grew up, you know, press into your femininity, because that's going to help you develop your identity more than saying, maybe I should just redefine all of this.
You know, we see in the Bible that Esther becomes the queen of Persia, mm-hmm. which is just crazy because she's a Jew mm-hmm. and she hides it. And she didn't try out for this. Mm-hmm. She did not. We see women contestants who want to win beauty pageants and what they go through with incredible makeup and styles and their dresses and their congeniality. Everybody wants to be Miss Congeniality. It was not like that for Esther. The Bible says she was taken into the palace. She did not volunteer. She did not want this. And then after a year of preparation, living in this harem with all these other women.
I know.
And every night or whenever he called for someone, you have to wait all night long to see if that woman's going to be queen and everything you've done is worth nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness we don't have to face that. But the sad part is what the king valued about her was only one superficial measure of who she was.
Mm-hmm.
Her beauty.
Yes.
You know, something we have no control over.
Right. Right.
You know, no control over.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really a sad story in scripture, that her husband missed the point of ever getting to know who she was.
Wow.
Beyond that.
Mm.
And it comes out. He starts listening to her and taking her advice. And it's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to remind people that your body matters to God. It
yes.
was a decision he made at conception. He's celebrating that you are this part of him. And we can just say, well, since my creator made me a girl, that's what I am, mm-hmm. whether I feel girly or feminine mm-hmm. today or tomorrow.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Our prayer for young women is that God opens all of our eyes
yes.
to see our bodies, not as a problem to be altered or a curse to be cured, but as evidence of our Creator's magnificence.
Oh, I love that.
Right? He gives us a form and a function and an identity and a beauty.
Yes.
I have a friend who is so incredibly beautiful, and I took a photo of her one day and handed her a copy. Of course, it was the days when you had to get the film developed. And I sent her a copy, and she's like, why did you send this to me? I said, because number one, you look so great
mm-hmm.
in this photo. And she goes, I don't look great. I have a long neck.
Oh, no.
Well, I had never noticed this long neck, and I looked at it and I said, you have a freakishly long neck. But do you know, I never noticed it until you said it. You brought it up, and the way you dress and the way you do your hair and your earrings completely
yeah.
disguises it.
Yeah.
And you're beautiful. I think you're beautiful.
Mm.
But why don't we focus on one thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
our bra size is not big enough or mm-hmm. too big. Our mm-hmm. hips, you mm-hmm. know. But all that can be overcome in time. And
yes.
then you get to be my age and it's just like, well, I'm short and curvy. Oh, well, here you go. You know?
I love that. Wow.
As you get older, you honestly don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to accept the unchangeables.
Yeah, I think that's a great word. I think acceptance is something that we're kind of working through lifelong. You know, it's not that we all reach this pinnacle moment when we say, you know what, I have my husband or I have my kids or I have this great job or I'm finally at the weight that I want. And now I can declare that I am beautiful. You know, just like you said, that moment can flee, you know, in a couple of weeks when you have a bad day and you eat an entire pie and your kids are just totally disappointing you and your husband are fighting. And, you know, all of these things, these dependents, you know, like these are dangerous. They're dangerous, but they're always there waiting for us, you know? So I love what you're saying, Michelle, because when we think about how we identify ourselves, we can be very hard on ourselves.
Yep.
as women, you know, like we have kind of these eagle eyes towards ourselves and towards each other, and they just provide these dividing wedges. And I think when this happens, similar to what Dana Gresh's book is all about, is for every lie that comes into your mind, we have to have a combating truth from the word to make sure we restabilize and realign our thinking. We have to say verses out loud and over ourselves, like, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. And, you know, I actually, this is an interesting verse that I really responded to from Ecclesiastes 11:5. And so it really helps me understand that there are going to be things, God says it flat out, there are going to always be things about what I've done that you're not going to fully understand. And the verse says, just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. And I love that because it's just an acknowledgement that God makes sure we understand. I'm sharing with you openly, you're never going to know everything and understand everything the way that I do. However, I don't want you to fully understand me necessarily. I want you to fully trust me. So as you study my nature, as you study what I've done, as you study my mercy, my forgiveness, the intricacy with which I create people, animals, the earth, the ways that I rectify and reconcile these situations, trust my nature so that when you reach these moments and these walls where you lack understanding, it's just like somebody you know that has been there for you your whole life. You can say, I don't know what's going on right now, but I know her. I've known her for years. I know her character, and I know she has my back. This is the same way that God wants us to think about him during all these moments of confusion. I know you don't understand it all right now, but really, I have a plan for your life, and I've actually been meditating on it since way before you knew who you were. So trust me.
You know, I just love that. Let's celebrate and embrace God's design.
Yes.
We are so hard on ourselves. Yes. We criticize ourselves in a way we would never criticize our grandmother or our mom or our daughters or our granddaughters. Mm. Let's celebrate our identity as female image bearers. Let's stand firm and celebrate the glory of God.
Yes.
And I love that ending with Psalm 139, verse 14. Let's say, wonderful are your works.
Absolutely. Wow. Thank you so much, Michelle. It's been wonderful. It's just, these are such great things for us to hear as adult women as well. You know, there's always challenges. They're never going to go anywhere. They're tests of our faith. But you know what? God never goes anywhere either.
Amen.
So let's just cleave to him, bring it all to him, whether it's embarrassing, shameful, awkward, uncomfortable. We're from him and he wants the fellowship. Amen.
Beautiful.
Amen. Thank you all so much for listening today. We're so glad that you are here, and we really hope that you tune in for the remainder of the week as we talk about the beautiful design that God has for his creation. So please make sure also that you all subscribe to the show. We're on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And we always look forward to the next time we get to be together. God bless you all. We'll talk to you next time.